with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back, you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, Barbecue Bob, you know, we talk a lot about meat, and we usually start at the butcher and move forward from there. But got an opportunity. I actually have a family member from Shartucky who is a professional beef cattle man. We're going to put him on the live line right now. It's Evan Beamer from Singletree Farms in Shartucky, Michigan. Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks, Randy. Appreciate you having me.
Well, you know what? We need a little education because we hear different tag names and different brand names put on beef, but certified Angus beef is a classic. And I know you guys work very hard to obtain that certification. And I want you to just tell us a little bit about that, what it means, and why it makes a difference.
Yeah, no problem. I guess I'll start back with CAB when it was established, when the brand was started, and how we kind of got to where we're at today with it.
Perfect.
They established Certified Angus Beef in 1978. So this last year was the 40th anniversary of this branded beef program. It's the longest running branded beef program in the world. It is a worldwide brand. It's a labeled beef that's sold all over the world. The thing that sets Certified Angus Beef apart from an unlabeled or just your standard, you know, prime choice or select type of cut of beef that you can buy at Meijer or any grocery store, they've established some pretty stringent guidelines that the meat itself, you know, what you're eating and grilling and enjoying, that's what has to meet these standards, not necessarily the live animal when you look at one. They've got 10 standards that they've laid out that the meat has to qualify for to receive the stamp and be able to be called Certified Angus Beef. You know, and starting out at the top, marbling, that's something that everybody knows about. It's got to have a certain amount of marbling content and also has to have the correct marbling structure within the steak or the roast, the cut of meat that you're looking at. There's an age standard when it comes to an animal. You know, you think of a younger animal producing a more tender type of meat. They have to be 30 months or younger when they are slaughtered. Another standard pertains to the ribeye area within the animal. It has to be 10 to 16 inches, a square inch ribeye to be able to meet the standard. Hanging weight on the steers need to be 1,050 pounds or less. It's just kind of a standard that helps weed out some of the maybe the age requirement. If somebody maybe did fib on the age or something, when you start to get an older animal, the weight starts to go up. So that's another standard that kind of helps to keep the age in check. From this is a little bit more of a taste and a dietary standard, but it has to have less than 1 inch of back fat on the animal. One of the other things when you're talking about a beef animal, and more specifically Angus, they have a superior muscling confirmation. And when the USDA inspector looks at the hanging carcass to start to go through these standards, they can tell without knowing what the animal was if it's a beef animal or a dairy animal. And this is the kind of standard that they look at to make sure that it's not a Holstein or a Jersey or any kind of a dairy animal, you know, that's being considered for this qualification. When they look at the carcass hanging, it has to be free of any capillary ruptures, which would be essentially what it is, little bleeders within the meat. It's kind of a visual standard. So when the butcher puts the product in the meat counter for the consumer to look at and buy, it's going to ensure a prettier piece of meat for the customer to look at. The last two is no dart cutters, which that's essentially, again, a bleed or a blemish of some sort within the meat. And the last one is the animal, the live animal can't exceed a 2-inch hump in its neck, the crest. You think of like, you know, bucking bulls, things like that. They have the big bump on their neck. It's also another standard just to ensure that it is an Angus animal that, you know, is being qualified or being considered for the qualification of certified Angus beef.
Well, that's cool. Hey, Evan, this is Bob. Thanks for joining us. Now, do you are these certified in terms of, like, I grew up on a dairy farm and we had registered Holsteins. Is this a similar type of registration?
Yeah, yep. The Angus itself is a purebred, from a genetic standpoint, a purebred or pure breeding type of a cow.
So then you're actually breeding them with other Angus from maybe you'd go to another state to take care of some of that breeding.
Yep, there's a lot of folks that buy breeding bulls from different producers around the country.
Right.
We utilize artificial insemination as much as we can. We can look at different bulls that carry higher markers for marbling or intermuscular fat, fat content within the carcass that they produce, and we can make some of our selections by going that route.
Well, I want to hook up with you before next deer season because I want some of those plastic gloves you use that go all the way up to your shoulder. It's really nice to clean a deer with.
Definitely.
Yeah, we used to do that years ago. It's not the funnest part of the job.
No, it's Evan, a long waiting game after, too.
Yeah. This seems like you mentioned all these characteristics. How do you discern that the animal on the hoof is going to have those? Is it just your breeding regimen and you know that time after time after time you're producing an animal that meets these standards that you described?
Yes and no. It really does come down to quite a few different factors. You know, probably most of which I don't even consider, or producers of beef don't really put much consideration into when you're doing your normal daily, you know, feeding the animals and going from one day to the next. You can look at it from a genetic standpoint, which gives you a little bit of a head start, at least in the right direction to meeting some of these standards. A lot of it has to do with the feeding process that the steer or the heifer, you know, goes through from essentially birth until they get to the age and weight that they would, you know, be a candidate for slaughter at that point.
Well, I think more of it has to do when you throw a big chunk of that on the grill, what you think of it when you're done with it.
No, definitely. You know, that's something too, like, it's hard to, you know, put your finger on, you know, what's your favorite, you know, cut of meat. I could think about that and it's like, well, I like this. A lot of it has to come down to the guy or the gal that's, you know, preparing the meat. There's a right and a wrong way to cook a piece of meat, and especially if you're grilling or you're preparing it in the house in a slow cooker, you can ruin a really good piece of meat by going about it the wrong way.
So I made the mistake of buying a grass-fed Angus a couple cows ago, and I got to tell you, I was not thrilled with grass-fed whatsoever.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of, you know, you see a lot of labeling that's pretty arbitrary. There's no real standard in a lot of these, you know, grass-fed, all natural, organic. You know, you can throw these labels on anything, and there's really no true standard to follow, you know, kind of in comparison to a CAB where there's checks and balances as to it meeting, you know, that labeled, you know, product. And you have the thing with CAB versus a lot of these other just kind of labels that are thrown on things is a consistent product.
So can people look up Single Tree Farms and contract with you for purchase a cow to take to the slaughterhouse?
Yeah. Yep. That's kind of how we go about things right now. We work with a few different butchers in the area that, you know, we schedule an appointment with the purchaser of the meat, and they go through the process of making the selections as far as how they want their, you know, how to have the carcass cut and packaged, and kind of go through that. And they get to make the selections more or less on their own, how they want their stuff to be.
So if I visit you, you'll throw a T-bone on the grill?
We could probably work that out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, Evan, thanks for your time today, man. And you're obviously very knowledgeable. If people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
We are active members in the Michigan Angus Association. Our member, our farm information would be available through the Michigan Angus, it's michiganangus.org, that website. We could also leave I don't know, phone contact number, if that's something that...
Yeah, can they find you on Facebook? Is Single Tree Farms on Facebook?
Actually, yeah. Facebook, okay. Singletree Farms on Facebook. They can find us there, too.
All right. Very good. Well, Evan, thanks so much for your time, brother. You're making my mouth water, and hopefully we'll get together and have a steak soon.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. That was Evan Beamer from Singletree Farms in my hometown of Shartucky, Michigan.
But yeah, for those of you who don't know, what Randy's really saying is from Charlotte.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have to diss everybody
in that poor town. Well, I grew up there, so I can.
Oh,
right?
Come on.
It's like you and Reed City,
baby. You're dissing Kentucky by doing that.
So anyway, next up on the docket is we're going to talk about a little beef on the grill. Stick with us. We'll be back. Waiting just to say hi. Did you stop? No, I just drove by. Kept on pursuing to the next stop. I bust a left and I'm heading to the next stop. The block was dead, yo, so I continued to A1A Beachfront Avenue. Girls were hot, women less than bikinis. Rockman lovers driving Lamborghinis.